It's not a place, a country, or a person. I see it as a state of being or a feeling, and one complete whole. When I reach within, so where do I belong? It's easy in me. Picking up from the conversation that we had last time in regards to unconditional love, what it means to feel love, identify it, dismantle it. That is one quote actually that I read that is really helpful. Love builds you up, doesn't dismantle you. How fucking true. And how strange that we actually don't even recognize it. Like, so you know when you hear things where people says, you know, like the simplest things, simplest, you know, life philosophies and quotes or thoughts are actually the hardest to apply. And although we can make sense of it logically to then apply it in your life, it's always the hardest thing. So yeah, love is supposed to build you. It's supposed to make you stronger. It is a feeling that it's undeniably and wholeheartedly pure. You don't feel in any way negative. Somehow, I don't know where or what made us associate it to complete the opposite. In regards to that, actually, I have a whole theory in that I've kind of like come to identify in myself, and maybe someone out there can actually relate. I call myself, my subconscious has an internal traffic light. So let's think about it in a way that as the traditional traffic light, the three colors exist. So red, danger, yellow, a bit danger, but if you're quick, maybe you're not gonna die, and green. And this is blissfully free. You can go ahead. It's safe, 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 safe. So now I realize that my internal compass, my internal traffic light, thanks to my subconscious and my deep subconscious, that now it's backward. So let's put it upside down. So at the top, I've got green. At the middle, of course, is always orange because it cannot change. And at the bottom is red. But I see it as red being green and green being red. And yellow is where I perpetually live, which it is that doesn't matter because I only live the extreme. I'm either super safe in my dysfunction or I am super fucking scared in my safety, in what everybody else seems to think that is safe. And orange, it is the space that I bounce, and I always like, this is how I navigate. It's like, phew! You know, like, it doesn't matter how dangerous it is. It's like I've always have the go ahead of squeezing myself in the tiny little like narrow way, like road to a new disaster. So that's how, this is my internal traffic light. And when I've realized that, I identify green as scary, unknown, petrifying, terrified of what safety is supposed to be, normality. And then with the opposite, where is red, where everyone else seems to understand that it's danger, go away, don't even fucking try to go there, Amy, she feels super safe. Oh my God, is there at the horizon a new drama, a storm to be able to survive? Of course, that's, for me, is paradise. That's exactly where I know how to function. Do you need anyone to survive you? That's me. It is like, I am laughing, you know. It's one of those things where you laugh because it's better not, it's better than crying. I think I do a lot of crying. I absolutely, but sometimes, you know, like, I think it's good even to take to make fun of yourself. And to take it, you know, like, on the chin. And I had no choice to dismantle my subconscious. And once did I realize that, I like to use this word, you know, dismantle. It's like my, every week I've got like a new word that I'm obsessed with, and I try like to kind of squeeze it in every conversation. So this is the word of this week. It's like dismantle. It's like I'm putting things apart. So that when you put them apart, they all have a function. You can see how they work, what is their purpose. So I've been on a journey of dismantling myself, so like to like nitpick, you know, look what the hell is going on with this one. So yes, I now have access, well, limited access, because I'm still trying to navigate the depths of my subconscious and my deep subconscious, which is really hard. But nevertheless, it manifests like as you go ahead with the journey, you realize that every single time that you overcome a type of trauma in a certain settings or environment, somehow it will show up in a different way in a new environment. So it's a constant journey, like never ending. It's like being on the escalators and you feel like you're going up, and the moment you're getting off, there's like another sets of stairs. I was like, wow, okay, so the journey is to stay on the escalator, always moving. Just, yeah, you do rest now and then. Okay, you can allow, you know, for the current to take you, but then when you regain your strength, you know, step up. If you want to get there faster, to the nowhere. No, I'm joking. Oh my God. This motherfucker is really, really, really sarcastic. So basically, yeah, going back to, now that I have access to these wonderful informations and I know what how many fucked up of shades of grey I am, I've realized that, okay, so when you give practicality to subconscious, you know, so something abstract and like trauma, and then it's like, okay, so basically if I recognize red with green and green with red and yellow, it doesn't exist in reality because I don't seem to understand that it's danger that needs to be taken with cautious. I just see it as like, oh, I still have time. Boom. What do I need to do? I need to make sure that I need to realize and explore what healthy is, and obviously start to teach my brain not to go in a complete panic, and obviously do the opposite with red. And then as red, dysfunction, manipulation, fear, anything that is not safe and, you know, clear, that should put my body into suspicion and, you know, panic. And how do we do that? How do we teach to recognize that? First of all, is the realization. I think for me was like, okay, so Ami, the pain, you always get to feel it at the end. I've realized that suddenly, you know, like once relationships or like things happen to me, at the end, I recognize, ooh, actually I was feeling really like scared and petrified, and I was worried and I didn't listen to my intuition. Okay, so instead of recognizing at the end when I'm ready to let it go, it's kind of to go with, okay, listen to your body and understand it, try to prevent it, or at least, you know, not to mute it as you're going through the situation. Yeah, I would say that would be the way that I kind of like I'm starting to see it. And as well, as I was saying last time, when we were talking about the fact that I would love to have anyone that has like better or at least a healthier type of like upbringing, or even has finally done the work in this sector of being happy in the green light and not finding it petrifying and scary and wanting to run away, I would love to hear your experience. I would love for you to come and have a chat with me. I think it's important that I constantly now trying to surround myself with people that have gone through that experience, and I can actually see it firsthand. And you know, when you surround yourself with people that actually have something that you don't have, or they can teach you what is their mechanism, you can see it firsthand when they go through things, how their body reacts and how does it. You need to be taught, you know, like everything, love needs to be taught, especially positive love, the same way they've been be taught how to live in unhealthy love. It'll be really good for me and anybody out there, you know, like that doesn't have this example to kind of like have it. It doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter where you are. We need to surround ourselves with examples and people that we can actually step by step see and recognize, and we can be helped but through experiencing other people's life and how they perceive and what their body is, like how their body reacts, and so that we can recognize it on ourselves. It's simple. Like, I think it's really, really simple. The moment that you do understand that, oh, whoa, you know, everything that I know, it actually, it's not serving me and it's doing the opposite for me. The best way to tackle it and to kind of like wanting to overcome it is to go back to the board and become a student and become a learner and acknowledge the fact that we are ignorant on the subject and try to re-educate ourselves. And you have to kind of like go into a programming of and rebrain, like, oh, sorry, what's the word? Oh my God, why do I always lose words? Reprogram, that's it. Reprogram your brain. So yeah, so please do, if you do have it, you've got, it doesn't matter if it was from childhood, doesn't matter if you overcome it, doesn't matter, as long as you know now that you are capable and you know you found like different techniques, please come through, help me, teach me, teach us all, be our mentor in that sector. And also, I would love to actually, well, end kind of like the conversation about love. Well, we'd be talking about love forever. I think like love is one of the most important things. It's like, but we're going to, I feel like it's important now that I know that the love that I received, it was not the healthiest, with no fault by anybody. You know, I believe we're all victims of other victims. If you go kind of digging everybody's life, you know, hurt people, they say that because it's the truth. You know, nobody that is happy and healthy goes around and try to harm anybody else's. Therefore, it's imperative to kind of understand that we all have a sequence of things that happen to us, which happen to the people that actually brought it to us, and we are then becoming as well the people that will bring in other people's lives. You know, like in my example, or like in my experience, it would be through my daughters or my friends and my ex-partners. You know, I don't think, even though I've been divorced and it's been really painful, and I could sit here and tell all the things that he did to me, and I'm sure if you hear his side, he has plenty to say about me. So, but what can you do? That's love, isn't it? Like, you love, you think that you're doing like that, the feeling itself, it's love, but it's not. The feeling itself is what you feel. Everything else, it's how you are manifesting it in the world with actions, with words, with work every day, each day. That's what actually love is, when it becomes a symptom of your feelings. So by taking care of a person, by like validation, by, you know, support, by empathy, by these things, then become love. That is love. But the feeling itself does not entitle to love. Like, I don't think it's the answer to love. It's just having feelings. So, sorry, I actually had to, I love to vape. I don't know, guys, if you started vaping with these like fruity flavors, I'm completely obsessed. So now and then you're going to hear me blowing, and that's me vaping away my thoughts. And yes, I know it's not good for you. I'm always having this conversation and people are like, oh, I've got European culture, okay? Italians smoking, it's the thing. Okay, I'm not really like the crazy drinker. I did have a lot of sweet tooth, and then obviously depression took that away from me. And it's funny how, you know, like before I used to find super lucky the people that were allergic to chocolate or sweets, because like, I wish, like, why can I not be allergic to this? You know, like, so I'm gonna stop stuffing my face. And then depression arrives, and you finally feel so sad to the point that appetite and wanting to get up and all the things, you know, that used to bring you joy go away, and then you miss it. I remember now, I miss now 2 years later, still battling with depression. And well, I've actually been diagnosed with ADHD, so it's been an ongoing, apparently, state of depression in my life. But it's not depression through love. I feel like for me, depression has always been about understanding the world and how it functions and not feeling empowered enough to be able to change it. That's actually, for me, it's been really, really depressive. Like learning that there is so much dysfunction out there and not being able to tackle it and seeing clear, you know, like how we should be, like how we should change to make a better space for all of us, and that will bring me depression. But this depression that I'm talking about, it was the first time after my divorce, and that took away, somebody said to me, it means, Lamina, you've never really actually been that sad, and suddenly you felt that sadness. And I thought I felt pain, but anyway, I think it's gonna be a conversation, but I thought I mentioned that so that you know what is this blowing that is happening now and then. It is the one that we know, but it's not the healthiest that we can experience. And then you kind of like now put it together with the concept of like my family, it's not the one that can provide me with this type of love. I can find it somewhere else. I can cultivate it myself. Now there is a lot of this culture around where like love comes from within. So once you experience it within yourself, then you can actually recognize everywhere else, which I do agree to an extent. But somehow, you know, sometimes I feel like it's kind of like taking us further away from experiencing love with each other. I'm already like a super independent person. I've always been. Now you're giving me a new concept where I don't need anybody else's, which is like my biggest fear, learning to need anyone else's. I would jog with it. Like, so now I'm kind of like, after like navigating and being super happy with like, yeah, self-love, you know, and like empowerment and not needing anybody else's, I realized that for some of us, and I mean, you know, guys, if you are the people like me that are super independent and are constantly striving to find new ways not to ask for help and not to be like you, to be needed but not be needing, that's it, that's like the thing. Yeah, I think it's a concept that it does not really support us too much. So yes, learn to have self-esteem and learn to love yourself. However, then you need to go out, we need to go out and try to learn to experience somewhere else and give trust that can be broken, and have the hope and faith that we're not gonna break or be irreversibly damaged. Okay, that's like the thing that I've had to learn, because otherwise you jog with, I'm gonna be independent forever, I don't need anybody else's, and that's like, it's just my fear. And I realized that I can't allow my fear, because I desperately want to feel love like every other human, and I want to belong like every other human, and I do need validation like every other fucking human. It's just about learning now. All these tools is for us to learn how to seek it from the people that are benevolent and they have the best interest for ourselves, but in the human limits, and so that we understand that as we fuck up, everybody else's does, and not to take it personal. It's not some theory of conspiracy where someone sits there and try to make your life harder. We are just collateral damage in each other's life. And when I realized that, it helped me kind of like solidify. the fact that it's okay and people can make mistakes and I can make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that it's all over. So yes, and that actually brings me to, once that you feel all of these things, the strongest other feeling is shame and guilt. I don't know what where you guys sit with this, but for me, feeling ashamed, it's like another narrative. Like, I feel ashamed of my thoughts, of feeling the fact that I don't think that my family's like the family that I wanted. I feel ashamed, guilty, because actually I feel guilty that, oh God, you know, like, should I think about these things? Like, and but my mom, she did this and that, the other, and my dad. And what about my friend? You know, she's super kind in that specific thing, but then she did 10 things that were like the guilt and the shame. And I've read another quote, which I'm not entirely sure how correct or incorrect, but I love to navigate it and like, let's explore it. And it said, did you know that shame derived from violating other standards? However, guilt is the disruption of your own standards and boundaries. It's like, wow. So when we feel ashamed, we feel ashamed because we have kind of pushed someone else's boundaries, and we subconsciously know, consciously as well, we realize that, like, subconsciously we know we violated someone else's boundaries, and that's shame. So our conscious makes us feel shame. And guilt, which is one of those feelings that I feel constantly, I feel guilty. I feel guilty. Oh my God, I shouldn't have said no. Oh my God, I should be helpful. I feel guilty a lot. My one is a lot of guilt. I felt shame a few times. And I know that it was me doing something. Now I realize, yeah, especially when I do something to someone else's. But guilt, 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 guilt. And then in the healing process, if you want to call it like that, or, you know, like in the realizational space, you kind of like learn if you are one of those outwardly anger people, like where do you, your anger and your distress and your dysfunction manifests on others, like outwardly, or you are a self-destructive person. And I am 100% a self-destructive person. I actually have learned now to maybe vocalize more when I'm feeling distressed. But even a friend of mine not recently said, I mean, like, you're going through so many things between the divorce, the end of the world, you know, like losing my job, losing the other job, and having to change everything, dismantling my family, homelessness, and at the moment having an eviction, you know, single mom of two. I did a massive breakup with my friends, a massive breakup with my family. So in 3 years, and he said, and we never hear you complain. I was like, wow. What do you mean? I felt like, if you ask me, I think I was, I always believe that I'm nugging 24/7. I guess I believe the things that I say to myself internally are like somehow coming out outwardly. But people seem to think that I actually never complain, and I'm always cheerful and positive. And I was like, fuck, you know, like, I wish I felt how I looked. You know, this is like one of those things that I say, I'm like, oh, you know, you look great. I wish I felt how I look. So basically, yeah, that's like kind of, it's not kind of, it definitely has cemented my, how I see myself. And it is a self-destructiveness, where I hold everything in and I don't want to be a burden to anyone, and I will suffocate my feelings and I suffocate my thoughts just for me, because I feel guilty of like putting on someone else's. And I guess I feel also shame, because to me that's like a burden, like it's like a breaking of boundaries of someone else's, because I feel like, oh wow, you know, now I'm opening up, it's like I'm flooding you with my problems, which is so strange, because I love other people when they come and open up to me. It's an honor when people open up to me, but somehow I don't give the same empathy to myself, and I don't give the same treatment to myself. I feel that if I do that to you, you will be feeling like I'm vomiting my life on you. But when I need to reciprocate, I feel that I'm honored, and what a beautiful thing. Les, please give me all your issues. Let me love you. Let me embrace you. Let me be supportive. And yes, there's nothing that you can do that it will make me feel in any way like I would run away or it's too much. But you know what they say, people always give what they want to receive. So God, you know, that's like, oh my God, this is like so sweet. Now, as I'm talking, you have this realization, you know, like what kind of like sweet sweet, sweet, sweet little child I have inside, you know, like the word that I use, you know, like things too much, and you know, and I'm not gonna run away. That's probably like my major fear. So, and that's what I give to others. Maybe with the hope that I will receive it back one day. However, never really venturing too deep into any relationship so that I don't have to really put anyone in that space where they cannot give it to me and disappoint me and feel hurt, because then it will all go into the massive theory that I have probably, not that I do know, that I have in the back of my mind, that I am too much and that I am certainly unlovable. That's the thing, and I cannot trust it, because if I would trust that I can receive that and then I'm disappointed, I probably would never be able to get up again. That's it. That's also like a major realization that I got from my therapy, which was the best fucking time of my life. COVID, I'm sorry, I know humans went through this insane moment, and as I was losing everything, my life was breaking down, and I decided to go to therapy, and I spent the whole of 2020 like unwrapping my childhood, finally going through all the things that it was time for me to unpackage. And you know, when you realize that you've been going through your whole life with so much luggage, and then now it was like one bag, it was my backpack, you know. I was like a child and I was like, oh, look at this really nice, you know, Hello Kitty backpack. And then now I'm 38 and there's like 55 of this, you know, like in the back. It's like, what is this luggage that I'm constantly, I'm not even contemplating into like what it's in it. I'm just like, I'm not even bitching about the fact that I'm constantly taking it with me in every chapter. I just became like an automatic thing, me and my 50 bags. And then COVID comes along and I'm like, oh fuck, I've got nothing to do. Me and my ADHD self, after I cleaned the house, I brushed everything, you know, with my toothbrush, I danced a lot, I tried all my wardrobe. Ariana Grande was like my soundtrack at the back. And I had lots of wine, I spoke to everything, I finished Netflix. I was like, what are these 50 bags, you know, like that are standing here? And I seemed, you know, not to be questioning what's inside. And when I sat down and I finally opened all of them, I found all sorts of things. I was like, what is this swimming costume for like when I was 5 years old doing here? What? Like, I was start to throwing things everywhere. I was like, but I didn't need this. But I don't need this. Like, why am I carrying it? No, I don't need this. I don't need this. Ooh, I even forgot about that. So, and that was like amazing. I would say to anyone, once you do have the time, of course, my one was incredible because for the first time in the world stopped and I got to deal with me and I didn't have to deal with other people. That helped a lot. But I guess, you know, they say God gives you what you can take. And that was my, it was my destiny to do it the way that I needed to do it. But what one of the exercises actually, like wrapping up back to the my unlovable and understanding my deepest fears of like abandonment and feeling like I'm not enough, the exercise that I did, that actually my therapist got me to do, it was to write two lists. One, it was about what other people say about me and how other people see me, and to write down like all the feedbacks and the things that people have said to me over the years, and positive, negative, whatever. And then to do another list of the things that I think of myself. And boy, how freaking hard it was. When he gave it to me, I thought, my God, that easy, the easy, easy, easy. I couldn't wait, you know, to do my homework. And I couldn't wait to kind of like begin the list of me, the one that I needed to do. And as I sat down and I looked at the blank page, which for me, writing is so easy. I'm such a, like, I've been writing, journaling, a diary, like, since I was, like, the moment that I knew how to write. I moved it from my, like, mental journaling into, like, pages, and then it became drawing, and then I kept drawing, and it's always been a thing. Me, my pencil, pens, it's, we had always, like, this beautiful relationship that we could, like, put things together, like, mind and pages. But now, put in front of this tasks where I thought it was going to be so easy, I just have to say what I think about myself. But the guilt, the shame, actually the word, I felt so ashamed of the things that I was going to write down. I felt really ashamed. I was like, whoa, you know, like, if I say all my deepest secrets in here, because to me it's deepest secrets, then you're gonna see it. So this is me feeling that, do I really want my therapist to know that I'm too much? Then he's gonna think that I'm too much. You know, so I put that on the side and I started writing down the list. I said to myself, this is something we're gonna do another time. Let's start with the one that other people said. And that was pretty easy, even though I didn't believe, like, I didn't think that it was going to be that easy. Hence why I kept it, like, for, like, later. I actually just flew out of me, and it was that list where you write down all the, oh wow, my stomach, I'm not sure if you heard that. After my, I think I'm hungry, my stomach just went rumbling. Anyway, I'm going to finish this and then probably have lunch. Yes, the list that I was doing where other people was talking about me, it was so beautiful. It was unbelievably beautiful. I mean, you're kind. I mean, you're, like, sweet. You're intelligent. You're beautiful. You're giving. You, like, my children, my friends, along the years, even the people that are now, maybe I'm not in my life, the criticism that they had, it was just valid stuff. It wasn't even, like, something that was mortifying. But the list about when I finally had to sit down and I had to talk about that critical voice that I have in my head, she was absolutely ruthless, insanely ruthless. Too much, you're too much. Like, I think the first 10 things that I wrote, that too fat, too loud, too sensitive, too vulnerable, talk too much, too ignorant, too talkative, too questioning, too inquisitive, too small, too unreliable. Like, it was insane. You don't listen, you're manipulative, you are secretly awful, you are not nice, you're not really kind. It actually gets me emotional, because it's like, no, it's not like, I've realized that my internal dialogue of my conscious, like, my super, my deep, sorry, my subconscious and my internal dialogue, it was so ruthless to me. I was so ruthless to me. I was so unkind, unforgiving, dismissive, constantly shaming myself of everything. I didn't even need anyone to do it from the outside. That's what I realized. I was like, you're not really your friend. You're not really, like, your cheerleader. Like, how do you manage, like, to live with this constant voice of yourself? And this is what you think of you. This is what you think of you. This is the respect you have for you. This is the love that you have for you. Wow. Like, no wonder. No wonder. No wonder you have no self-esteem. Like, but it's my business to have any self-esteem. And I'm just giving you some of it. Like, the list went on and on and on and on and on. I think even my therapist was shocked. He was shocked. He couldn't, shocked in a way, like, but I see you so differently. Like, where do you even get these things? And obviously, you know, you realize then that this is like things that you accumulated over the years by people and things and family. Well, people, majority of it is family. A lot of it is my mom and my dad, you know, and things they used to say to me from age zero. And then they just stay with you. And somehow their voices become so strong that you make your voice. Like, you don't hear them say it to you. It's your own voice. So now it's like, well, it's super valid because I believe in me, you know, when I have to say negative things. I don't believe in me about them when I want to say something positive. selective hearing. You're like, I definitely have that. I have selective hearing towards, you know, like my own voice. So yeah, I would actually suggest anyone, like, for you to understand your internal dialogue and to actually like hone what the fuck you're saying to yourself, like the companion, the best friend that stays with you in your head, with you physically as well, because it's like, this is like your shadow. I don't know if any of you are like familiar with the concept of the light and the shadow. That's the shadow. It's the hurt side of you. And it needs to be embraced. Like, it needs to be heard. The shadow does not need to be deleted or cancelled or removed. Like, yin and yang exist. Nobody can exist without light and darkness. Okay, you cannot have one without the other, because they wouldn't exist. The concept wouldn't exist. You cannot recognize good without having bad. You cannot recognize, you know, pink without having yellow. You cannot, like, you need to have the opposite kind of like next to it so that you can see the difference. That's how you believe, like, that's how we create boundaries and lines and, you know, by having, you need to have an horizon, you know, you need to have, like, it's like when you see the difference between the sea and the sky, the line is there, even though they look similar, because obviously the sky takes the color of the water and the water takes the color of the sky. It's like, you see, but one needs to exist for the other one to exist. Otherwise, it will be nothingness. And once you realize the conversation that the shadow is having and why she's the shadow and what has she got to offer to you and the conversations that you need to have with her and the beliefs that she has of herself, and you can't substitute her with the light. You just need to take it by hand and just listen. And that's where I am now. I'm just listening and listening and listening and listening. And the more I discover, the more I'm realizing that the, like, you know, that validation that you're seeking everywhere, and we're constantly looking for that person that finally is going to come and they're going to hear us and they're going to see us, that it's the actual space where you finally stop and go, hold on, I don't even know how to receive that type of thing, because I have never given it to myself. I have never stopped and heard me. I have never stopped and validated what is going on to me. I don't even believe me has gone through the things that I've gone through. So how do I, even if anybody in throughout my journey has come and validated me, it's like a black hole. Like, they could keep on giving, but I would never be full. Not because of the lack of giving, but because I'm a black hole. Like, things get lost in that. And I don't know how to receive it. I don't know how to distinguish it from everything else that it's already in it. It just gets, you know, like, drawn in, that's it. So I know how to get it in, but then gets lost everywhere else. I need me to sit on the floor and you know, like, crossed legs and silently, patiently, kindly and compassionately listen to everything that happened to me and listen to how you know, that side of me is feeling, and just take it. The fact that, yes, it happened to me and it's painful and it happened to me. That's it. Like, I think the first stage is like, yes, it happened to me. It's not like, oh, this happened to me and da, can you believe? And then let, you know, the anger and everything flare up to kind of like then feel shame and then feel like, oh my God, did I say too much to this person? No, I needed to do that. And then you need to sit with it. It's like, whoa, this actually happened to me. You know, no matter what, like, your family says to you, because everyone, when you talk about your experience, people will try and invalidate it. And it's not even like purpose. It's just like everyone to take the responsibility of how they show up in relationship. It's hard. Okay. So you dwell in that hemisphere where it's like, did it happen to me? Did it not happen to me? Am I right to feel like this or am I not? So at some point you're going to have to decide that this is how I feel. I'm heartbroken for this reasons, and doesn't matter. I'm not going to get the closure from this other person about how I'm feeling. I just need to believe in my feeling and believe in this is how I perceived it. And this is how it actually is affecting me. And if I carry on not accepting it, I'm just going to be a complete tornado in my life 24/7. So it doesn't even matter anymore that the other person doesn't really. It's like it's affecting my today too much. So at that point in life when all of us get like so tired, and it's not even like tired of other people, I just got sick and tired of myself. I got sick and tired of my own damn self. And then that's when I collapsed and I sat down and looked into these 50 baggages and I realized that I need to unpack it. I need to have a look at it. I need to hear my story. I needed to know like, well, this has happened to me and I need to feel the pain and I need to feel the sorrow, and I'm gonna have to go through this until I need to go through this. And I cannot give myself a timeline. I cannot, because if it took me 38 years to get here, it might take me another 38 years to feel better. And so what? Okay. And so what? Like at the edge of my 40s, where before I used to be in such a rush to grow up. I'm still actually, because I can't wait to be 40. I just have this idea. I have this belief that when you get 40, you kind of like arrive to that space where like, I don't give a shit. And I just realized that the more you grow, the less you give a shit. And so I'm just like in this like rush of like, yes! I'm always running somewhere, not to feel where I am, but that'll give you a hint of me sitting down on the floor and packing my things and having a conversation with my shadow. And is the hardest stuff for anyone, I think, because then I have to be present. And I have to live my feelings, even though they belong to the past, but they're so alive and vivid in the present because I've been running away from it and rationalize it and then dismiss it and then all sorts of things. And now it's, that's where we are. And once that I have finally embraced the method of validating me on my own, then that's where the first trust bond is built. And that's going to be a bridge that the moment that I really, really learn and appreciate, it's going to be much easier to kind of like replicate it with everyone else in my life. And I just can't wait, you know. I'm learning to have patience because I have endless patience for the world and I have endless patience for other people. The only person that I never had patience and compassion for is me. And to build this is going to be the adventure of a lifetime. So anyway, this is like so beautiful. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I feel like I'm in therapy again. But it's so healing to kind of like share what are my discoveries. And I hope in one way or the other, it's been helpful. It certainly is helping me. And it's liberating me from feeling guilty of offloading. Because I know that if you do not want to hear me, you can actually just stop. So I'm not burdening anybody. regardless, I'm working on it, so please bear with me. I just want to liberate me. I want to liberate you. I want to feel no fucking shame about my story anymore. I don't want to feel as if I'm constantly pushing my boundaries in a negative way. I want to feel empowered by my story and not like a human that deserved all the bad things that happened to her because she was not good enough. And with this, as my stomach is rumbling very loudly, I hope the microphone is not picking this up. I'm going to leave you. I love you. Until next time.